101 WIXX, Green Bay's Packers radio network station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
And the snap. Rush on. Rodgers with time initially. Waits. Throws. Left side. He's got Randall Cobb barreling the end zone. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Wayne, we've been waiting for the Randall Cobb impact, and it finally happened yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did, Murph. I mean, you know, the guy can still play. There's no question about that. As Brian Gutekunst said earlier this summer, this is a guy who can still play, and he plays at a high level. And Rodgers was looking for him on the money down. Most of what he did was on third downs, and he converted.
It was great to see A.J. Dillon become a major part of that offense yesterday, too. Those two together, Cobb and Dillon, were magnificent yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Dillon just kept banging away at a very good Pittsburgh defensive front and kind of wore them down as the game went along. That's exactly what you drafted A.J. Dillon to do. And so I thought the complement of him and, of course, Aaron Jones out there, that made for a really potent attack against a very good Steelers defense that had an excellent secondary out there as well.
Speaking of defense, Wayne, our defense each week has made incremental improvements, made some really nice adjustments in the game after a particularly rough start on that opening drive. They played very well yesterday, again.
I thought they did too, Nick. You know, and I think they've been very active. They got some pressure on Big Ben. And, you know, I thought the coverage downfield was very good at times. And, you know, there were passes, though, that there might have been three or four passes that where they had receivers open for big plays, and Ben just missed them. And you can see that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is very much a 39-year-old quarterback and playing like it. And since his elbow surgery in 2019, he just is not accurate downfield. He can throw it downfield, and occasionally he's going to hit a play. Like I thought that first touchdown pass to Deontay Johnson, whether Deontay pushed off a little bit or not, I didn't see a big push-off. I saw some push-off, but not a lot. That was a beautiful throw and catch to beat an all-pro cornerback. So he can do it on occasion, but there were a lot of situations where he missed people and then missed some real short passes, too. And so I guess that's the problem with your quarterback is if he has elbow surgery, look out. He may never be the same. And that certainly has been the case with Ben.
You know, then when Preston Smith went out for a little bit early on in that game yesterday, everybody had been thinking, oh, okay, here we go. But luckily he was able to get back in the game and was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he's been good all year. He and Kenny Clark have been the real forces up front for the Packers defense, I think. And then you add in Devondre Campbell, who's played, he's been all over the field all throughout the season. And the other guy who came in yesterday, and again, the stat line didn't show a lot, but he did a couple of big things. He sacked and forced the fumble, Kingsley Keke, on Ben Roethlisberger. And then he also deflected a Roethlisberger pass in the late, I want to say it was the fourth quarter. You know, this is a kid that has the ability. He's got the higher ceiling than the other people on the defensive line that can become a real complement to Kenny Clark. And they need this to happen. They absolutely have to have that happen in order for them to be a Super Bowl caliber team in January.
You know what else has made a big difference, too? This punter that they got. This kid can boom it, can he?
Yeah, the one he hit out of the end zone, 50-some yards. I mean, Bohorquez, he's been a revelation, guys. I was saying to Larry, I think, you know, I wonder if we had a better punter in the 23 years we've been together on these games. I don't know. We've had some good ones, but I don't know if we've had anybody who's been this good. But I thought he's made a nice difference, quiet difference when you think about it. But, you know, his net punting is 41.3 yesterday, 46-yard average, had that 57-yarder when they had to have a big punt. Yeah, this guy has been a huge upgrade at that position.
He's been real quiet in terms of Mason Crosby as well, which is a great thing. That's the part of the equation that you forget about when you bring in the new punter, and Mason just continues to do what Mason does, and good holds, good operation, good everything. Mm-hmm. It's just really good to see.
Yeah, on that block field goal, were they offside? I couldn't tell on the replays I saw. What did you guys see at home?
I think if you told me they were offsides, I would go, okay. If you told me it was clean, I would go, okay. I mean, it looked perfect, Wayne. It looked like a perfect movement on the snap of the ball, and it was I think as good as you can make it.
I think it almost felt like it had to be because they were there
so many of them.
Yeah. So fast, it's like they couldn't have been legit, right?
It couldn't have been. No, you know, That's what I thought, too. I mean, they're just there too quickly. But I don't know. It wasn't blatant, that's for sure. And thankfully, they called that back because that would have changed the complexion of the game. Period.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what else is becoming a little more of an issue is these tripping calls or non-calls in the case yesterday. You're starting to see a little bit more of that, but there wasn't a call for tripping yesterday, right?
Boy, there was one call, I want to say, for tripping, and they picked up the flag.
Right.
Yes.
I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it was TJ. Yeah. Wasn't TJ Watt?
It was on Aaron, yeah.
Yeah, and TJ Watt, you could see him flip his foot out.
He definitely went for it.
Yeah, he definitely tried to do it.
Well, let's just say, guys, the officials have a tough job. And leave it at that.
You know,
respect.
Should there be one or two more, Wayne? I mean, it at the speed that these guys are going and the way things plays happen, should there be more eyes on the field than there are now, maybe? Would that help some of this stuff?
Murph, there are a lot of eyes on the field right now. I mean, yeah. How many officials do they have there? 2, 4, 6, 8 officials now.
Yeah.
But we need an official for every player on the field. Maybe. I don't know, but that would make a lot of people. We'd have to widen the field, wouldn't we?
Just to make room for the officials?
Although, yeah. I'll tell you what, when you referenced the coverages and some of the things that are happening out there during the course of a game, I mean, when you zoom out, it's kind of fun when you have the later games and you watch a little bit of the rest of the action around the league and you're not just so tuned into your own. The coverages are so good and so tight, and the windows are so small. There's never been more talent out there on display on any given Sunday than you have right now. It's remarkable how good these guys are.
Oh, no question about it, Nick. There's no doubt. All the old-timers would tell you this, too. The talent level in the league is through the roof compared to what it used to be. And it's not that it was bad in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, or even 90s. It wasn't bad at all. It was very good. And it's bigger, faster, stronger. But the problem with bigger, faster, stronger is you have more injuries. The collisions are more violent. And, you know, the whole thing comes down to guys. You hold your breath every time a player goes down because is he done for the season? And if he is, and if he's a key player, that will change your projection. There's no question about it. You hope that Jair Alexander is going to come back okay from that shoulder injury. You know, you hope, you know, Za'Darius Smith. That's a huge loss, guys. I'm telling you. The Packers had three studs on each level of that defense, okay, starting the season on paper. You had Kenny Clark, you had Za'Darius Smith, and you had Jair Alexander, okay? That's what you need to have a championship-caliber defense, and now one of those studs may be gone for the season. That's hard. You know, you don't overcome that in this day and age.
Nope. We're talking football with Wayne here on WIXX. We will take a quick timeout. More Wayne coming up on IXX.
Back to talking football with Wayne Larrabee
on the Murphy in the Morning Show
on WIXX.
Second down at about 7 is how they mark it. Roethlisberger fires the left side. Intercepted by the rookie, Eric Stokes on the interception. Pass intended for Deontay Johnson, and Stokes goes down near the Green Bay 45. Eric Stokes, whom they've been picking on all afternoon, finally turns the tables with his first career interception. Poetic justice.
Wayne, has the Eric Stokes era arrived, and do you see him coming off the field anytime soon anymore?
I really don't, Murph. No, he got beat a few times. He had a penalty that I thought was highly questionable down in the red zone. But, hey, listen, the kid didn't flinch. And you can tell by his body language, he doesn't get flustered out there. And that's number one. But he has the makeup of a starting cornerback, and I think he's playing like it. I really do. Yeah, they're going at him. Absolutely. And they're going to all year. But I think he's, in the end, going to prove that he belongs. And I think he's had it off to a terrific start, personally.
Wayne, you mentioned a couple of the injuries. They're starting to mount up a little bit at this point in your, I always want to say a quarter of the way into the season, but now we're not. Just under a quarter of the way into the season. But you've got some O-line, D-line, secondary, wide receiver. They're just kind of mounting up a little bit. How do you go forward at this point?
Well, I mean, obviously you have to rely on your depth and that type of thing. Maybe down the road, if somebody's gone permanently for the season, you might make a move, you know, a personnel move. But for the most part, no, you hope that you've trained your backup personnel well and that they can come into play. But as you and I, as we've all talked about this, the problem and the bane of the NFL in this bigger, faster, stronger era is injuries. And usually they are season-ending injuries that turn seasons one way or the other. And you just hope that these guys can come back. I'm even still hopeful Za'Darius Smith can come back late in the year off the back surgery. I don't know if he'll be able to or not, but I'm hoping Jair Alexander's not a long-term deal, and you're hoping to get, you know, on schedule to get Elton Jenkins back and eventually David Bakhtiari, and just think of how good that offensive line will be when those guys come back. So, but you can't lose a Jair Alexander. You can't lose a Kenny Clark. You really couldn't afford to lose a Za'Darius Smith, and you have. So, you know, that's where you have to hope your depth is good enough in those areas.
You know, one thing we noticed yesterday, Wayne, is that Pittsburgh plays their very best players on special teams. Minkah Fitzpatrick, for example. That's something that we haven't, as a general rule, have done here in Green Bay, have we?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was surprising to me. I mean, when he blocked number 39, I said, what in God's name to myself is number 39? They're all world safety doing out there and field goal coverage.
Yeah.
You know, on, he blocks the kick. And then he returns it for a touchdown. He sits there and says, wow, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, who would do that? Who would play a starter that important on special teams? But, hey, it's a priority. And, you know, Pittsburgh's pretty good on special teams. There's no question about that. And they were yesterday. And, you know, thank goodness, like you guys said earlier. There's a certain commitment to special teams. Baltimore is the best of the business because their head coach is a former special teams coach. They have four or five guys that are active every Sunday that basically can do nothing but special teams. And they will sprinkle in starters, and you're starting to see the Packers do that, some starters getting out there on special teams. Matt LaFleur knows that this is one phase of the game the Packers need to improve on, and they're beginning to commit personnel to that in Green Bay.
We're heading to Cincinnati this weekend. I don't believe we've ever won in Cincinnati. Is that accurate?
I don't know. Where did you get that stat? I'll have to Google that.
I don't think we've ever won in Cincinnati, to be honest with you.
You know, you may be right.
Yeah.
You may be right. But and you know what? Cincinnati's – I saw them last week they beat Pittsburgh, so I watched the tape of that twice. This is a much improved team, believe me. They really are, and they've invested heavily in dollars-wise in their defense. They drafted – skilled position players. They're very good around that quarterback, Joe Burrow, who will throw the occasional interception. But this is a much improved Cincinnati team, and they're off to a great start.
Yeah, they really are. So, all right, on that note, hopefully we get some good news about Alexander this week and doesn't lose too much time. And that should do it. We'll talk next Monday. A little football here, Wayne.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you, partner. You too. Appreciate it. Coming up on 7:30 at WIXX. And that'll do it for talking football here on